Welcome to this week's Pat Pod. We are short a few people, but that's just because everyone has a busy schedule. But Pat Pod goes on with or without them. We'll be okay. So we have me, Peyton Glochat. We've got
John DePietro
and Shanoa Gentle.
And this week we're talking about The Favorite, which was a movie directed by Yorgos Lanthimos.
Lanthimos, yeah.
Yeah.
You got it.
Okay. Wow, first try. Anyways, this movie is a period piece from the early 1700s, I think, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, 18th century to early 1700s.
Yeah. So, you've seen it, like, what, twice now, JP?
Yeah, twice.
Do you want to explain kind of the plot and what goes over in it?
Yeah, I could give a brief description. It's like we said, it's a period piece based on, it's also a drama based off the Queen Anne of during this time, who was unfit to rule her kingdom. And they kind of delve into the psychology of that and what kind of made her that way, and the interactions between these two other characters that kind of favored or wanted her to favor them in this entire story. So it's kind of a battle of, like, the favorite, of course.
Yeah, they're trying to win over the affection of the queen.
Yes.
Okay. So this Pat Pod, we're going to focus a little bit more, since it's a period piece and it's supposed to be it's based somewhat in truth. We're going to try and focus a little bit more on things like historical accuracy or the costuming or how well the characters stayed true to the people they were playing, because some of these people were real people. Mm-hmm. So... Mm-hmm. I think one of the first things we're going to talk about is, of course, we're going to talk about the movie itself before we delve into really the details.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, I think the movie is really good. This was a standout film to me in more than one way.
Yeah.
This was a weird film.
Yeah.
This was probably, I think I watched it with JP earlier this week, and my first thought was, what is happening? What is half of this movie? What is going on? Yeah, Alex also watched it. He's not with us today because he has something else. But he pretty much had the same thought of, what's going on? I don't understand any of this.
I was like, oh, hello.
Yes, I was like, oh, this is cool. This is fine. I like this, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's very surreal. But I think that what makes it special, it's very clearly, unlike Black Panther, which, not trying to throw shade, but Black Panther was not a very artistic movie. This is an artistic movie, and it had a very different approach to how it was being done.
Yeah. What would you score it?
I would probably say, I mean, aside from the fact that it was very different, the actors did really well performing their roles, soundtrack was really well done. I had some issues with artistic choices.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
JP knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
But aside from that, I would have to give it probably an eight or a 9 out of 10. What do you guys think?
I would give it a 9 out of 10. And it would have been almost a near masterpiece if it weren't for that artistic choice that they made in the film that me and Peyton can talk about later. But ultimately, this was a superb film in a way of the directing, the acting, and the performances of just about everybody. It's a very surreal and macabre kind of black comedy that I really enjoy, and it's a period piece. And Yorgos Lanthimos, you guys haven't seen his previous films, which I would recommend. A lot of his kind of his worlds are kind of a dystopian to what we perceive, and it's a parallel to what we see. So it's kind of a disconnect. So a lot of the performances are sometimes very stale and just sarcastic in tone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would give it a solid 9 out of 10. I don't know what y'all are talking about.
Ooh.
About the whole entire, like, artistic thing, but I guess I'll find out with you guys. But I definitely loved it. Like, I just go to the movies to watch the movies, but, like, this one definitely made me think afterwards, which I think is good in a movie. During the movie, I was like, what? Which, it's good for a movie to question your brain like that, and you still enjoy it during it. So I'd give it a solid 9, like... Mm-hmm. You know, chopped off heads and the little, is that the right time era where they did the guillotine?
I think that was in French.
Yeah, that was, this was a different, well, they were fighting the French.
So
yeah.
you could technically pull that in. We're going to go with that and say 9 chopped off heads out of 10.
There you go. So,
alrighty.
Pretty solid.
Macabre. Alrighty. So anyways.
Or something like that.
It'd be like that sometimes. Me. Anyways, so we're going to talk about the historical accuracy of the film. This is a piece that was based in the early 1700s, based around a real queen. And the movie itself kind of gives itself some wiggle room with artistic liberties.
Yes.
I think we talked about
liberties.
This briefly beforehand, and it was they explore some themes that weren't really talked about as like concrete. This happened. Mm-hmm. Some of them we won't go into because they're more mature themes.
Yeah, more mature. Yeah,
yes. Above our pay grade.
Yeah,
and so we're not able to talk about those. But one of the things I want to talk about was the rabbits.
Yeah.
Because that was something that was pretty significant to the film, but I don't think actually happened. Like,
Kafui stated that it wasn't.
Yeah, Kafui
that's
did.
That's not factual.
Yeah, Kafui did most of the research that was going to be for our discussion on this, but it was basically the stuff like that, like details that, while I will say they weren't minor, but they weren't like key points in the movie either.
They helped to develop Queen Anne.
Yeah, they helped flesh out the character.
Yeah. Yes.
But they also weren't real.
Yeah.
It was definitely probably just used for like character development more so than
especially for that ending.
Yeah.
Yeah, the ending especially.
Woo!
Okay. We'll get to the ending very soon because that is something I most definitely want to talk about.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyways, next up is probably directing. We're talking about Yorgos Lanthimos and the work he's done on this movie. JP can reference other works because you've seen his other movies, yeah?
Yes, a lot.
Yeah. I haven't seen his other movies, so I can't draw back on anything, but I can give my opinion, which I have some on, about this movie and the choices he makes. First of all, the fisheye lens is garbage.
The notorious fisheye lens.
Oh, factual. Did not make me... Yeah, I got sick.
Yeah, like there's scenes where... JP can attest to this. I was like, what is happening?
You stated this over the top, and I never thought someone like you would notice that, but it makes sense, though, because I didn't realize in my second viewing how many fisheye lenses were used.
Yeah, like, there's a lot of different scenes that use it, and I can kind of understand why he uses it.
He used it sparingly.
Yeah, but it's still...
It was way too many times.
It takes you out of the moment.
Yeah, it's really jarring. Like you said, it detracts from the scene and it pulls you out. The immersion as the viewer is kind of like, whoa, there's like the corners of the screen are darker. It's vignetting going on,
it's
really
circling.
Distorted.
It's
it's weird.
It's funny because I don't remember him using fisheye lens for his previous films, which are more... in a sense, not less straightforward as this one.
Mm-hmm.
But he is notoriously known for using wide angles as a way to make the camera an entity to observe over the people.
Yeah, so it's not so much... So it's more like someone watching than it is.
Yeah, he takes everything into the scene. As like the first shot you could see, he takes every part of the scenery into that, and he makes the characters look small, making us look, as the observers, like we're stalking them.
Yeah.
And
that's
I like that.
That's a great word to use for that. I understand that.
Yeah.
But the fisheye lens was a bit ridiculous.
Oh, no. Got sick.
Yeah,
got
that...
Got seasick.
I didn't get sick, but I wanted to be sick because of how much that showed up, and I disliked it strongly. Do you guys have anything else you wanted to really talk about? That was just my main thing.
For the directing?
I just wanted to bash that, really.
The lobster?
Yeah, the lobster. That's a great comedy.
I just saw the name. The lobster.
The lobster. That's another one.
Yorgos Lanthimos. I'm kind of preaching over here, but I think he's almost equivalent to the next Stanley Kubrick. And
really now?
Yeah, and he's also.
That's a statement.
I mean, if you watch his other movies, you kind of agree, especially The Killing of the Sacred Deer.
Mm-hmm.
But I hope he's being also nominated for Best Director, and depending, I kind of hope that he kind of wins.
Yeah.
Because this is like his major film that he's getting most credible for.
Yeah.
And that would be really cool if he did.
Yeah, it was a really good movie. I might not have understood everything about it, but
You still got enjoyment out of it.
I still got enjoyment out of it. There were some things like the directing, especially towards the comedy, was very well done. It wasn't like too much where it was kind of like, oh, great, they're making the same joke again, haha.
No, it was very cynical, dry, you know, sardonic, and all these performances are, he carries it with a idiosyncratic kind of feel for the characters.
Yeah, and it's something that I wasn't expecting going into the movie, was I wasn't expecting to have so many moments where I was like, wow, that was legitimately funny. I would sit there and just laugh at it, like the whole, whenever the queen was yelling at someone,
oh my goodness,
look at me, and then it'd just be like, don't look at me, how dare you. And
need to get into acting, so I think we can move on to that. Or
the acting was so good.
Oof. Okay.
Yeah, that was really good.
Emma Stone, my mom.
Emma Stone, she's being nominated for Best Supporting.
Really?
Actress. Yeah. And Olivia Colman plays Queen Anne.
Yes.
Absolutely fantastic.
That was a really good
performance. I hope she wins Best Female Actress.
Yeah.
She did really good.
She did awesome. She really enveloped in this character, not to the point where it's almost like a caricature.
Mm-hmm.
She's very outlandish, and you just believe everything. Her mannerisms and just like her quirkiness, it all envelops. And not just that she's a comedic character, but she's a tragic character. Like, things that you feel for her are just overbearing.
Mm-hmm.
She was very, like, believable.
Honestly, very believable.
A character you can, like, sympathize with because you understand, like, Queen Anne's gone through a lot. There's a reason why she acts the way she does. It's not just because, oh, haha, I'm being funny. It's
like,
because
I don't know what I'm doing. Ha-ha.
It's very
like,
much.
It's very real.
Like, she's been scarred.
She's had trauma.
I think we can talk about the whole kid thing, can we? Or...
Well, is that PG? I don't think that's PG because that's a bodily thing.
Yeah.
And I don't think 5-year-olds are listening to our podcast. So.
What I mean, like, it's just the fact that she's lost so many kids.
Yeah, she's lost a lot of kids that really have drained her.
Yeah, that really, she said, I'm pretty sure in the movie, she said, every time you lose a child, you lose a piece of you.
Yeah, you die.
Factual. Because, I mean, it was a piece of you.
And this kind of makes her kind of a childlike in some ways. When she acts childlike, she
yeah, she has, like, temper tantrums.
Yeah, temper tantrums. And, but you understand that. Like...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. She just gives a wild performance, and I honestly hope that.
I think her best scene was the last in the ending.
Oh yes,
yes.
That
oh
was, my goodness.
Speaking of which, the ending was probably
the most jarring.
That was the most.
That was honestly Yorgos Lanthimos right there. At the ending.
That was probably.
I'm gonna rewatch it after this because that was so good.
That was such a good ending to a movie, and it really just kind of brings everything full circle in a way.
Yeah, because we didn't even mention the two characters.
Yeah, we haven't.
Emma Stone and what was her other name? It's the Duchess, I believe, and...
Here, I can pull
Abigail.
It up. Abigail, okay.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Abigail comes in proclaiming that she's the cousin of the Duchess. I hope I'm saying her name right. And the Duchess is like, how did you describe her? As like the right hand...
Basically, she was... making all of the decisions for Queen Anne.
Yeah,
and
like
was
the crutch for Queen Anne.
Yeah, she was like the right-hand woman for Queen Anne.
And they were really good friends.
Yeah.
Like, she's honest, like, brutally honest as the character.
Yeah.
So, yes, Emma Stone's character walks in, proclaims that they're their cousin. She looks for work. And as you see Emma Stone, she, like, goes through the hardships and stuff like that. And she's gone through some hardships, too, feeling very weak as her character. And she wants... She starved of that kind of thing. And you root for her. She's like the underdog.
Mm.
And she slowly progresses herself into getting the favor of Queen Anne.
Yeah.
And this ultimately leads into a feud between the Duchess and Abigail towards the Queen Anne, which is pretty much the entirety of the film. And as it goes on, you start to kind of dwindle off away from Abigail because she's becoming more ruthless.
Yeah, it changes... your perspective on characters. Because,
I love that.
Yeah, because you start out with the movie going, oh boy, we want Abigail to do well. Because literally the first scene, she goes face first into mud.
Yeah.
And then it's like you feel bad for her. And then as the movie goes on and this game manipulation starts going on between the two people vying for Queen Anne's favoritism, you realize she's really just a terrible person.
Yeah, she's just really a total... Mm.
Yeah, exactly. And you don't like her. And
at the end, definitely not.
At the very end, with the ending, you're just she got what she had coming to her.
Honestly, she was entirely proven that no matter how much power she gains, she will be nowhere close to Queen Anne.
Yeah, she will never have as much power as Queen Anne has.
And that visual representation was absolutely... stunning, and also before then, the brutality of Abigail. I can't say, but I was oof.
Yeah, like the whole scene where it's like she tries to exert her power over exert her dominance in a way, and then Queen Anne notices and immediately disapproves of it, and it's almost like Queen Anne develops in a way because the whole movie she kind of has like this whole childlike demeanor, very carefree. But then she becomes this status of power and control.
Yeah, very ruthless and decrepit. I don't know if I'm saying decrepit.
Yeah, no, it's like she finally finds her own voice, I think.
In a very sorrowful way. It's not like a very, oh, yes, I found my true self.
Yeah, it's not
it's like
oh,
I'm going
have
to have to do this in order to get my point across.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very much like it's not like we're rooting for her kind of she finds her own voice. It's like that happened.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, she has to do this. Oh.
Yeah. And that ending was really good because it's basically just Abigail having to submit to Queen Anne because she knows she won't ever come close to the power Queen Anne has.
She still is what she was always.
Yeah, she may be a lady in the court, but she will never escape what she had when she first went there to start a job as like a maid or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
She always will be in that same position. Mm. It's just the person who is in control over her changed.
And they no longer really connect on a way because they know how bitter they are. They're so miserable in this one scene, and you get that. And it's like, oh, it's going to continue like this from now on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the movie as a whole, fantastic. Confusing, very confusing.
Very.
I'm going to have to watch it again.
Yeah.
But I think it was that's a contender for Best Picture.
Honestly, probably the most one of the interesting ones.
Mm. Yes.
So... Soundtrack. We're going to do soundtrack, yeah.
Yeah.
Alrighty, so soundtrack is something that's kind of confusing to me. It's very, it fits the period.
Yorgos uses a lot of original soundtracks.
Mm.
Not original. Is it original? No. Like the previous, like Beethoven, like all those other greats, and he uses them. And then for this one, I believe there's two soundtracks that are original that kind of feel like the weirdness and the that really kind of weird.
It's very, I don't know if I want to, if quirky is the right word, but that's kind of what it feels like. It doesn't fit very well.
It was very strange.
It was very out of place, it feels, in certain scenes. But
I liked it.
I liked it too.
Some of it had an eerie sense, like it was enveloping into something.
Yes.
Well, I think that's the point they were trying to get across, because, you know, the whole movie about Queen Anne, but... I think it was very fitting for the character of Anne.
Yeah, it was a fitting soundtrack. It just felt very different to what we usually hear, because a soundtrack usually, the whole point of a soundtrack, I believe, is to complement the movie in a way to where it's like, it'll add to the film, it'll add tension to the film, which this soundtrack does add tension to it.
Yeah.
But this one is... You usually don't notice a lot of the soundtrack. You only really notice it during pivotal moments in the movie.
I think that's the point. Yeah. Like, some of the soundtrack kind of stays in the foreground to give you the like sense of, yeah, this is a periodic piece and they're playing the music to kind of like, it's uplifting, but when you see the visual, it's kind of very...
So it's like a juxtaposition.
Juxtaposition, and that's what he's kind of for.
Good term, yes.
Yeah. That it's a paradox.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Because this is a dystopian kind of retelling of what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, so, I mean, soundtrack is not all that special, but it's something distinct.
Yeah, it very much stands out, which goes back to, like, the whole, you don't usually notice a soundtrack whenever it comes to, like, just a regular scene where there's exposition being told. Like, whenever you ask people, like, aside from, like, the Avengers theme song, when you ask people, say, what, name a Marvel theme song.
Yeah, name other Marvel MCU theme song besides the Avengers theme song.
Then most people aren't going to really remember much, because there's a whole video that talks about that.
Yeah.
And it's because they usually play it safe. And that's not a bad thing. A lot of movies do that.
Yeah.
But this movie takes that rule and just steps on it.
Oh, it's very unconventional.
Like, oh, go in the garbage. Whew.
Yeah, exactly. It's very distinct. And at first it was really jarring, but I like it. I think I like it a lot.
You should watch his other movies.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. So, movie as a whole, what did y'all think of it? Final thoughts. Shanoa, what do you think?
I definitely fell in love with, like, Queen Anne. I definitely did. Like, I think she was a great character. It very much confused me, but I enjoyed her. But obviously, like, I'm an Emma Stone stan. Like, I loved her in La La Land, and I love her in this, like, movie. But and a good thing that I think the movie did was it didn't give you the straight out, like, who's going to come on top, like, Abigail or the Duchess. Like, it didn't give you a, you know, who's going to come on top until
the very end,
which I think is very good, because normally in movies, I don't like sitting there and be like, oh, this is going to happen. So it was very good at keeping me on my toes. So, yes, a solid 9 out of 10. I loved it.
Okay.
Honestly, this, like I said before, this is my favorite movie of 2018, the favorite, and a solid 9 out of 10. Yeah. I do believe, I still haven't watched all the other Oscar films, but I do believe, or at least hope, that this movie either wins Best Picture or Best Director. Because I feel like it has a lot of worth and value to it. It's just something that's so overwhelming, and it has a very distinct style, and I like how it presents the whole story narrative and really... really makes the best artistic liberties within the historical timeline and everything. And performance, directing, very, very nice, very good.
Okay. Yeah, I think it was an all-around really good movie. It soundtrack was really good. I might have been like, it's definitely different, which I think makes it stand out more. Mm-hmm. Acting, awesome job.
Yeah.
Queen Anne, especially, like I said, last scene, I think that was the best scene in the whole movie.
Oh, my goodness.
And then the writing, the directing, everything about it was really good. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to stick with my original score. And I think that was probably, to me, should be a contender for Best Picture. That yeah. should definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
That if it were to get Best Picture, I wouldn't be upset. Yeah. I think I would believe it deserves. I think it deserves Best Picture, and it deserves a nomination too.
Opposed to Black Panther.
Yeah,
we're just gonna.
This is a far stretch from Black Panther.
Yes, this is like an opposite of Black Panther. Like Black Panther is a it's a good family movie, and then The Favorite is like a this deserves an Oscar like.
Yeah, this is like...
Quite literally.
Yeah. While we're on the bandwagon of just saying Black Panther doesn't deserve Best Picture here, I love the movie, again. But it's just, compared to The Favorite, it's not a movie that really does much aside from earn money. Yeah. And it was it culturally was a great film.
Oh, yes.
But this is really a what you expect to be Best Picture nominee film.
Honestly, I would have to say that this movie doesn't really pander to a very general audience. Like
Europeans.
That. Well, okay, but like it doesn't pander to the wider audience that Black Panther did, and so this movie just it tells its own story in its own unique way and has a lot of merit to it.
Mm-hmm. It has a style. It's very characteristic. It's a movie that is unapologetic about what it is.
Exactly. There's a lot of dark undertones in the movie that are played for comedic effect.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So. That's the end of this Pat Pod.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to meet up again next week. And next week's film, we're going to be talking about Black Klansmen. So thank you all for listening in. And we will see you all next week. Pat Pod on three. One, two, three.
Pat Pod!